Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And happy Tuesday to you. Great to have you with us in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Russell Wilson getting a huge contract. Look, he's won a Super Bowl. Okay, that's great. But again, what is the key in everything? I mean, do you have the leverage? And is there any doubt that in this case, Russell Wilson had the leverage? Remember, we were talking before about Matthew Stafford when he set this bar originally, and somebody made the point, well, gee, he hasn't even won a playoff game. Irrelevant. If you have leverage, it doesn't really matter about items such as that. The Detroit Lions, in order to have any chance, felt that they had to have Matthew Stafford. So guess who had all the leverage? Matthew Stafford. Now, we know Russell Wilson has won a Super Bowl, and he's also guided them to a second AFC championship on top of it. In Seattle, he has all the leverage. What's their option? Drafting Daniel Jones at Duke? Cut me a break. Who has the leverage? He has the leverage. And that's what it comes down to in these situations. Wilson is not the prototypical size quarterback that the NFL always talks about. But I think you have to change your standards as time goes. You know what? I want guys that know how to play the game. Ben Roethlisberger is the size and strength of an NFL quarterback that fits what you want. But he also knows how to play the game. There have been a lot of people who also fit the same stature that Ben Roethlisberger has, but can't play the game. That's why when I look at Russell Wilson, and then I look at Kyler Murray, I say to myself, you know, when I watch Kyler Murray, do I think he can play the game? Yep. I think he can play the game. And with all the measurables and the combines and how high you jump and how fast you run, right? The bottom line to me is, do you know how to play the game? You can have all the measurables in the face of the earth and not know how to play the game. The NFL has a lot of people right now that have incredible combine measurables and don't know how to play. It's a very interesting group as to how they go about it. We'll talk with Neil Coulong about that a little bit later in the show. Looking forward to that. Great to have Neil back. It's Neil's wife's birthday today, so obviously we are not helping that marriage out at all by having him on the show.
We are doing that. Out of the way early before dinner plans for tonight. So,
yeah, sure.
It's one angle, you know.
Yeah, if you think that's how it works, yeah.
Every little bit helps.
I'm not so sure we helped here. Audrey Snyder on the show today. And get her thoughts on the blue-white game. So we'll have Audrey on. Tomorrow, the Phillies are in this time spot. It is... last year, the weather was lousy for baseball. This year, it's better. But you look at... The Phillies played the Mets last night. Man... That was a lousy. I mean, the weather was lousy last night. Man, it didn't rain, but it was still like cold and windy. And oh my goodness! But we started out with the Russell Wilson contract. Tiger Woods made Nucky a ton of money. Zion Williamson's declared for the draft. Hachimura from Gonzaga declared. Bruno Fernando declared. Ty Jerome and DeAndre Hunter from Virginia declared. And that is... And Josh Reeves, by the way, got selected for the Portsmouth Invitational. That's seniors only. Portsmouth Invitational, a.k.a. the Pitt, is seniors only. And he was selected for that. So it's a big plus for him. At least give him some sort of showcase to start with. So one thing about Josh that they'll be... There are a couple items about Josh Reeves they'll be impressed with. Length, quickness, and his defensive anticipation. Now, does he need to be a better offensive player? No question. He needs to be a better offensive player. Completely understand that. And that is the bottom line for him. He needs to be a better, more consistent offensive player. Man U's playing Barcelona today. Scoreless, 10 minutes in. Let's see. Also, a couple of other notes here.
He posted on our Facebook last night, former Penn State kicker Sam Ficken signing with Green Bay.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting to see what they want to do with Mason Crosby, right? It could get to the point where, for example, Mason Crosby... they look at him and they say, okay, a longtime veteran. Now, if you're a longtime veteran, what does that mean? That means you're also getting longtime veteran money. So that is the difference. If you're getting long-term veteran money, they might want to go with a, quote, cheaper alternative. No offense to Sam, but he'll take the job. And, look, I hope he does well. I hope he does well. They asked Rick Barnes today at Tennessee about the UCLA job. He said, look, if UCLA had paid the buyout, he would have taken the job. Well, okay then. find that to be very interesting. Kerry Blackshear is mulling a transfer. Virginia Tech's got an interesting... Interesting deal because, you know, as you know, Buzz Williams left to become the head coach of Texas A&M. And they hired Wofford's Mike Young. You got a lot of guys at Virginia Tech that are thinking about transferring out. And he and Kerry Blackshear, whom I think is really good. I mean, do I think he's an NBA player? No. But do I think he's a terrific college basketball player? Absolutely. And he could be a grad transfer. And if he is a grad transfer, the line to get him is going to be very, very long. Anthony Cowan and Bruno Fernando opted for the draft. There's no doubt in my mind Cowan is coming back because Cowan has no shot at being drafted. None. Fernando, yes, he does. He definitely does. Let's see. Let's get to some spring ball. Talk about some quarterbacks here. Spring football. Did you see Tate Martell at the Miami spring game got booed? Now, my first question is, will he transfer? Ohio State's not made any decision on their quarterback. Unless you have a returning starting quarterback, why should you make a decision on your quarterback in April? If you don't have a returning starting quarterback, why should you make your decision now? I realize that for everybody looking for answers, you want the decision to be made now. I understand that. You know, the world is impatient.
And that doesn't matter. And that doesn't matter if you have a first-year head coach, 5-year, 10-year, doesn't matter.
There's no need to make the decision now for anybody. So let's bring it closer to home. You're going to have a faction of fans that, oh, Tommy Stevens. There's going to be a faction of fans, oh, Sean Clifford. And that's fine. They'll go into training camp, and whomever does better should be the quarterback. But you don't want to shut down one guy over the other. Now, there's no need to do that. Find out who's better. Just like between C.J. Thorpe and Mike Miranda. Who's better? Try to find that out. And it's the same thing with quarterback. Who's better? Who's better to lead what you want to do? And don't start doing this, well, I got to think about 2020. Anytime you start doing that. I always love when people talk about the future. Like, you can quietly build for the future, but don't ever abandon your present. I think that this is obviously. Boy, I don't know. I think it's safe to say between Tommy Stevens and Sean Clifford, I probably have seen them throw between, 5,000 to 10,000 passes apiece. Something like that. Clifford's been here, 2 years? And Tommy, of course, has been here 4. So I probably have seen them throw that many passes between them in practices. And they both do some really terrific things. Both do. But there is no need to pick what's going on. Stevens is really smart, really knows the offense, knows the reads. He's very good at running the RPO, has a very strong arm, and we all know Tommy can run. All right. Sean Clifford throws, as I've said, when Trace McSorley, Tommy Stevens, and Sean Clifford were all here, middle of Sean's true freshman season, which he didn't play at all, I said, look, if I had to pick the guy of the three that throws, quote, the best ball, I've said for 2 years now that I think he throws the best ball. I also give Sean a lot of credit. This is not the offense he ran in high school, but he has really embraced and has very good judgment on when to run. But there's also no need to make any kind of decision. I mean, there's certain guys that go into a camp. You know, I don't think it takes a genius to look at Yetur Gross-Matos and say, I think he's a starter. Micah Parsons, I think he's a starter. Cam Brown, Jan Johnson, Pat Freiermuth. But the great part about Freiermuth is they don't have to play every down. Nick Bowers is really good. And then down the road, it is Zach Kuntz and Brenton Strange are going to be very good. So the tight end spot's very good. But you know Freiermuth is the guy that you would look at and like the piece with your pencil, boom, put him on the one line. There are other spots it's not like that. And the I think the what for Penn State the big plus is that they've got a great quarterback situation. I paused there for a moment. I had to sneeze. So Sean's like, I better say something. Nah, I didn't want to sneeze on the air. A little dust down here. Although every time I sneeze, there are people out there who harbor hope. No. And you'll have a lot of conversation between now and until James Franklin makes an announcement as to who wins. And there's going to be a lot of guessing because obviously not much practice information gets out, nor should it. That is part of the culture of what James Franklin wants to do. He doesn't want a lot of information out there about what goes on in practice. I think let's start with what Tommy did. It's very similar to what Michael Robinson did. Michael Robinson was playing an all-around role for Penn State. Michael, at one point, started at tailback. They had him in the slot. And he was in the all-around role because when you have such a great athlete, you'd like to see him be a part of the mix somewhere. Mike was about 230 his junior year. When Mike knew he was going to be the starting quarterback, he dropped down. I want to say Mike was 216 to 218, and so he lost about 12 to 14 pounds, somewhere in that range. And he slimmed himself down. Well, Tommy Stevens has done the same thing. In knowing that he was in the all-around role, or at least anticipated being in the all-around role, the lion position last year, or you play the slot, you line up next to Trace, there's, you know, he had himself up to almost 240 pounds. Well, he's already dropped 10, 12 pounds. I want to say Tommy's 228 right now. He's a taller man than Michael Robinson. But he's done exactly the same thing Michael did. When it came time where he knew that the position and the only position for him as quarterback, he dropped weight. And that's important for him. And so you can see there's that difference. He's always had that the athleticism, the quickness. He has never lost any of that. But now he's at a point where he knows, look, I'm competing to be the quarterback. So like Michael Robinson, what he did was he dropped the weight. Didn't feel like he had to carry that much weight to then have, because he's playing, when you're playing all the different positions on offense, like Michael did and like Tommy has, you know, you're trying to absorb potential punishment out there. Well, now it's different. And it's interesting how the two have taken similar paths to get here. Michael had a spectacular fifth-year senior season. Tommy's hoping to do exactly the same. Now, right behind him, obviously, is Sean Clifford. And I shouldn't say behind, because he's going to compete with him. And as I've mentioned many times, Clifford throws a great ball, and as I've also said many times, that I really like how Sean has embraced the ability to run in the RPO, because that wasn't his deal in Cincinnati. So it's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of speculation as to how it plays out. There's going to be people in the first couple of weeks trying to guess the tea leaves as to how it's playing out. And in reality, it's going to be James Franklin and Ricky Ronnie that are going to have the best feel and read as to who should be out there as their starting quarterback. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Phillies are on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Right-hand batter, he's waiting in the pitch. Swung on, grounded up the middle. There's a base hit into center field. Hoskins around third. They'll wave him home. There'll be no throw from Inciarte. And Realmuto with his first run batted in. It's a 3-1 Atlanta lead.
Phillies baseball on WKOK is sponsored by APW, Troutman's Meat Market, Shade Mountain Winery, and Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Your home for Phillies baseball is News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Get outside and clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time, even at Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors' spring inventory cleanup has begun. Once a year, SMC takes their entire new Ford inventory and prices them at levels not seen before. SMC is where you want to be to choose from 44 2019 Ford Escapes. This just in, Ford Motor Company and Sunbury Motors have increased the discounts on 2019 Ford Escapes. They're slashed to the lowest price ever offered to the general public, now at an amazing $18,985. SMC is where you want to be for 2019 Ford F-150s, starting at just $25,899. And SMC has 66 in stock. SMC is where you want to be if you want a brand new 2018 Ford Focus for $14,905. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Ford in the Northwest Street Auto Plaza.
Hi, Hi, this is Steve Jones inviting you to be part of the 28th Annual Truman H. Burney Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We'll kick off the event with a special broadcast on WKOK Tuesday, May 7th, starting at 3 at Penn's Tavern, south of Sunbury. Then Wednesday, May 8th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, golf the morning or afternoon flight, four-person scramble, and win great prizes. To sign up your team today and for more information, call the Sunbury Y at 570-286-5636.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday edition. We still have Audrey Snyder on the show today. Dave Cicchini is going to join us today, head football coach at Bucknell, as we review Bucknell Spring. Very important. This was Dave's first practical application with his current team to see who fits, who might not, and how it's going to go from here, at least for the opening season. And we'll get into some recruiting as well with Dave. First of all, we bring in Neil Kulong. Neil, I know that it is your wife's birthday today. I know you can wish her happy birthday from us to you. We can also question your judgment about doing this show today, considering it is her birthday.
She kicked me out. That's what happened.
Now let's discuss her judgment.
Exactly.
Hey, it's great to have you with us. We're closing in on the draft. The Steelers, of course, keep life a complete mystery as to what they're doing with this thing. So let's get into some of the better guesses. As a, you know, like a couple positions you think they ought to be looking at, and then a couple of guys that you would idealistically like to see the Steelers consider.
You know, two things I think with the draft. I think this is a good year for them to move up to get somebody.
And when might that ever happen?
Yeah, it's certainly not anything that I don't even know. I should probably check myself. I'm not even sure if I've said it before, but I like Devin White for what they do. I like Devin Bush for what they do.
Yes.
I'm not 100% convinced either of those players are going to be there at 20. But that said, what I think makes the most sense is Iowa's Hockenson.
Oh, TJ, yeah. TJ's a good player.
Yeah, they don't have a tight end. I mean, I understand Vance McDonald is there. They're paying him a little bit, but not a whole lot. They have not invested in that position to a large degree, really, since Heath Miller. And it's not exactly a position that you probably, you know, as a team, you want to invest in highly, often. He's a three-down guy that can do a lot of things really well. And in my opinion, he's not maybe the athlete that you'd want in like a top 14 or 15 spot, but at 20, he's a steal in many ways. I think he's the type of guy they could really use over the next 3 years. And I understand that oftentimes your first-round pick is viewed as somebody that's going to come in and make this, you know, all-pro-like impact right away. That's not the way that it works. I think for where they're going to be, for who's most likely to be there, I think Hockenson might be the best one. And I wouldn't be at all surprised, one, if he's there at 20,
right,
and two, if that's the guy they really want. I that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it's interesting because Noah Fant, his teammate at Iowa, was always the more highly touted guy. And I could see why a couple of years ago, because obviously I've done enough Penn State-Iowa games. But this year it was obvious Hockenson, I thought, became the better player because of what you just said. And he's a far better athlete than people realize. He made a play here in Beaver Stadium where he hurdled a guy. I mean, Okay. That was, I mean, he can do that. I mean, he is a better athlete. And you're right. He's a three-down. He's a three-down guy. He can block.
Yeah, to me, athletically, he's really sold short. He's not given the respect I feel he deserves. And some of it, I think, is because of Fant's athletic ability, which nobody is going to deny either. I don't think anybody would say that Fant is not the better of the two in terms of athleticism. But Hockenson has a much better all-around game right now. And you could almost with Fant, you could almost even go back to Gesicki last year, and you're seeing an excellent athlete. Gesicki was bigger than Fant, and I think with that you see more upside. But between those two, it might not be the guy that you want to invest a first-round pick into, because he really is kind of specific. You've really got to have the type of offense that caters to a player like that. But Hockenson, I don't think it matters. Whatever offense you want to put him in, he's going to have success. Yeah, you can fit him in wherever, and you can get. I hate this cliche; it always bugs me because people use it with offensive linemen all the time. But you draft him, you've got a tight end for 10 years. Yeah. You know, you're not going to have a problem with him at all. And I really think that the Steelers offensively could do that now and into the future. It is a position of need because they don't have any depth at tight end, but now. In any way, shape, or form. Vance McDonald is not a three-down tight end. He's done well. He works hard.
Yeah.
I have no issues with him at all. But is he your long-standing guy? I don't think he is. I think you need another one in there. And they don't have anybody else. You know, their depth chart is Vance, Xavier Grimble, who cost them a game last year that Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown had to take the fall for.
Right. Yeah.
In a highly dramatic fashion.
Yes.
And what's his name? Bucky Hodges or something like that?
Yeah.
He's not your third tight end. He's not going to make that team. You need somebody else. They're going to come out of this draft in one of the first three rounds with a tight end. In my opinion, Hockenson is as good a prospect for that position as anybody else.
Now let's get to the linebacking part. Because you mentioned White, obviously, who's obviously a really good prospect, but still his big claim to fame is he had to miss the first half of the Alabama game. Right. And then, of course, Bush I've seen a lot of. And, I mean, you know, Bush, I would compare him to Ryan Shazier in terms of his lateral and straight-ahead speed, outstanding. But Shazier is a far better cover linebacker than Devin Bush. What do you think of those two guys?
I think with Bush, he doesn't have the length that Shazier had.
Right.
So you look back on them for where they were as prospects, and I was one of the few people, not to pat myself on the back, but I was one of the few people that absolutely loved Ryan Shazier coming out. Not a guy that I felt was going to play at a high level immediately, and he didn't. And on top of that, he got hurt a bunch.
Right.
But he was the kind of guy that you could develop because he has, you know, certain attributes, certain traits that other people just don't have. You know, as long as he was, as fast as he was, you can work on all that and you can develop it. And I think by and large, the Steelers felt the same way, and they developed him along that kind of path. I don't think Bush quite is that. And we look back in draft history, he's the kind of guy that I think he's lacking just enough that a team is not going to want to make that first-round investment in. And certainly, he's a phenomenal player. You see it physically. But there are detriments to his game. With that, even if you're drafting 26, 27, do you really want to invest that 50-year option into a player like that? I don't know. It's hard to say with those linebackers. You're not entirely sure if he's at his ceiling or if he is able to get better than what we see of it right now. With Devin White, he has that length. the athleticism is very similar. He's got the prototypical size to be a top 15 draft pick. I think he will be that. And if the Steelers want him, they're going to have to go up and get him. I don't think he's going to be there at 20. For me, I think White's going to go earlier. I don't know if you give up assets to draft Devin White.
Right.
That's a tough call, even in a year in which I don't think the Steelers want to draft 10 players. I think they want to unload a little bit of that to move up to get a player that they really like. I'm not entirely sure if it's a first-round guy. If it's close enough, I think they would do it. I think, you know, move it up to 17 to get a guy like that, okay, maybe. Give up a third that you never really wanted in the first place. You'd rather have Antonio Brown, normal Antonio Brown. you didn't want to earn that pick the way that they did.
Right.
So it's not exactly a plan for them to have it.
Right.
They might want to unload that to move up a couple spots, but how far up they'd have to go to get him, I don't know. That's a tough spot to be in.
What did you think of Russell Wilson's contract? I know he went in and he said, look, I want Neil Kulong money, and they just handed it to him, but it's still...
I suggested to Russell Wilson and his agent to go after Neil Kulong money, and they fell short of that. So,
a better agent understands your value.
Exactly. Nobody gets this. Not even my own boss. He got the money that you get when you're a starting quarterback.
Yes, he did.
You really can't make hide or hair out of the specific dollar amounts of what quarterbacks who are entrenched, who are clearly highly talented the way Wilson is, what they get is market-based, not skill-based.
Right.
The market says that's about the level that he should get. And that when I saw the report that came out, 2 weeks ago, that his agent was setting a deadline that, you know, we have to have a deal in place by this time. I laughed. This is like he's going to get a contract. There's absolutely no. You're not going to try to leverage Russell Wilson out of a deal with a draft pick, which is really, I think, the only position that Seattle could have feasibly have been trying to take. You're going to go draft, Daniel Jones out of Duke and have him replace Russell Wilson? No. Come on. That's not going to happen.
Nope.
My opinion was more Wilson and his representation saying, look, quit screwing around. Let's get a deal done before the off-season program starts. Let's establish him as a leader of the team, which is everything that you've done to this point. It strongly represents that. You got rid of all of the defensive players that you once had. The Legion of Boom is gone. You wanted to have Russell Wilson in this spot. Let's pay him the way that you're supposed to pay him. You know, to me, that's really what it comes down to. And when you have a quarterback of that ability, certainly at his age, that's what you have to do. So to me, it was really more or less a no-brainer. They were going to get a deal like that done. The specific dollar amount, it's substantial, but that's what Matt Ryan got. That's what Matthew Stafford got. That's what Aaron Rodgers got. Ben Roethlisberger is next. that's what those guys get paid. And the market will continue to increase the more of them who come into advantageous contract situations. And to me, that's really all Russell had. He earned it. He should be getting paid that, and now he is. So good for him. Yeah. Good for the Seahawks. He's a great player. He's only going to get better, too.
Right. I mean, look, they have the leverage, so they use the leverage. That's great. Wish your wife, from us to her, happy birthday. I know that hearing that we wished her happy birthday will do absolutely nothing to smooth out this situation, but we're going to give it a shot.
All right. I'm going to text her right now.
Yes.
I'm going to let her know that.
Yes.
And when she starts screaming at me about something, I'm going to blame you too.
You would not be the first one to ever do that. So we're used to it because that's just the way the show goes.
That's it, man. Life on life terms. That's how it works.
Hey, thanks so much. It's great to have you with us. I look forward to talking next week, Neil.
Definitely. Thanks, Steve. We'll talk to you.
Neil Kulong, USA Today. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by and powered by Sunbury Motors. The Steelers pick, what, 20? No offense. Yeah. If they trade up, well, I think it might be a smart move. I'd be shocked.
I believe the last time they traded up was for Polamalu. So we're talking 15 years here.
Yeah, longer than that. Was Polamalu, what, 2002?
That's right. So 15 years was Ben. Ben was first round in 04.
I did the kickoff classic with USC, and Polamalu, I think, was a sophomore. And he ran an interception back for a touchdown in the game at the Meadowlands. That I did. So, yeah, that's the last time they traded up. It was worth it, too. I mean, you talk about first ballot Hall of Fame guy. It was worth everything they dealt to get him because they got the guy. And amazing. But they don't trade up. I also think that they went through a bad period in drafting where they were drafting based on combine and not on football. I don't think you can do that. I just don't. I mean, look, I mean, you can have somebody that's a really good football player, but if they can't run fast enough to be in the league, then you can't pick them either. But if you have somebody who has decent combine measurables and they know how to play, man, do it. To be honest with you, what are the measurables, the combine measurables of Juju Smith-Schuster? And the but he can play. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm out there doing the Rose Bowl, and you know, he's out there just making plays because he's a player. So that will be something that we'll talk about. The draft is next week. I think it's in, what, Nashville next week? Does that sound right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you take the draft roadshow and move it to Nashville. Remember Zach McPherson who played here? Took a while, but he finally did land in a spot. He ended up at Texas Tech. Hey, if you're a defensive player, your avenue to starting right away is going to Texas Tech because they don't really play a lot of defense there. But that's where Zach McPherson ended up. I still don't know about Aaron Monroe yet. He's one guy I never really got a read on as to where he wanted to go, what he wanted to do. So, I mean, he may have landed someplace and maybe somebody the audience already knows, but not to my knowledge. This transfer portal. We have transitioned. No matter what people do, companies, let's just take companies. Companies, every time you turn around over recent years, have been trying to do team building. Team building exercises, build the team. And, of course, sports is about team building as well. But it seems more and more and more the priority and the precedent is now with the individual. What does the individual want? How do you satisfy the individual? How do you keep the individual happy? It's not my way to operate. Just not the way it is. Sean knows that. Never been like that. It's just not my way of doing things. Well, you know, I like working as a team. Well, like, for example, if you're playing in a golf tournament and one of your team members puts the ball 10 feet from the hole, you get excited thinking you might get a birdie. Non-team member is rooting for everybody to miss the green so they can use their golf club.
Chatter.
I'm sorry. I had to get out of that toxic environment. I sense with Steve Engel and Adam Purdy. Somebody puts the ball 10 feet from the cup. They're high-fiving left and right.
We'll find out. 3 weeks.
Oh, no. I could tell right away. I mean, when one person creates a toxic environment, it brings the whole group down. Even though the Chief and Craig are two of the greatest guys on the face of the earth, there's just only so much the three of us could take.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.